just sharing some different messages, but I want to be some continuity in what I've shared every week, and I really felt this verse of Scripture in particular to impart to you and to help you to be reminded that when you're not able, that God is able. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him," not you, "to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think." He can do it in us. We can't do it in our own strength. You will only go so far in doing anything great in life. But when you allow him to work through you, he will take you beyond your natural limitations and move you into a place of supernatural results. He said, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that works inside of you and I." And this week, I shared this last week, that the last 2 weeks, I've just been speaking to myself. So you got to listen to me speak to myself one more time today in this thought that he is able to help us love, to help us love the unlovable, to help us love those who have assaulted us or hurt us. He wants to work his love through us, and not just any kind of love, but a love that goes beyond our natural ability, goes beyond natural boundaries and natural limitations. He wants to help us to use the love of God towards others who, whether they are good or bad, that God says, "I want you to love that person. I want you to forgive that person. I want you to give that person some room and some space to grow." That doesn't mean that everybody, if you're doing something that's inappropriate or harmful or hurtful, that doesn't mean that you just continue to do it because you just know everybody's going to love you no matter what. That's false. You and I are called to live the Word of God through our lives and let his Spirit change us and mold us into something different than we are right now. Right here today, every one of us, including myself first, must come in and walk out with a greater knowledge of what he wants to do in us, more so than we had when we came in here today. Because if you just come to say, "Well, I got to get up and I got to go to church," that's all you will get out of it. But if you come with an expectation, "I'm going to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. I'm coming to the house of God to have an encounter with a living God." You will have that encounter, and he will touch, and he will change your life. And he will continually work in areas of your life and in my life that we maybe didn't expect him to. But let me tell you, God is a sneaky God. He will come up when you're not looking, cuff you upside the head, shake you, and bring you into the promise that he has for your life and for mine. Come on today. The love of God does not take into account whether you've been naughty or nice, good or bad. The love of God goes beyond those boundaries. One of the greatest examples of the love and the mercy of God is found in John chapter 8. You didn't have to be in church long to know the story. Jesus was teaching in the temple one day, and religious leaders burst in, and they threw a woman right down in front of him. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher," in John 8, chapter 8, verse 4, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commanded us to stone such a woman. What say you? What are you going to do? What's your verdict? Surely you're not going to disagree with what Moses said, are you?" And Jesus did something incredibly significant. The Bible says that he stooped down and he began to write on the ground with his finger, and he ignored them. In fact, the New King James Version says in verse 6 that he acted as though he never heard them. And I love this. Boy, this was just burned into my heart this week. He acted though he never even heard them. And this is a powerful lesson to understand. And I believe that what God was trying to say then, and is saying to you and I, that when you listen to me now, this isn't for somebody else. This is for me. This is for you. That when we become critical and judgmental and hateful towards other people, we're always looking for what they did wrong or what they're doing wrong. When we do that, God just ignores us the same way he ignored them. Amen, Pastor. Thank you for sharing that with me. I needed to hear that. God won't pay attention to you and I when we start and we live in that vein of life. Always critical, looking for the worst, running around, pointing fingers at other people's faults and trying to tell God, God, look at how they are. Look at how bad they are. And we think that God is like, oh, thank you for pointing out how lousy of a person they are to me. I did not know that. But it's when we are negative and critical and judgmental and hateful that God just turns his head from us. And I wonder if some people are living their lives in this sphere of attitude and it's hindering the blessing that God wants to pour on your life. You see, when I find out that I love beyond my own capabilities and my own understanding, when I show love to people, to be honest with you, they don't deserve it. They deserve something else. But that's not up to me to administer what I think they should get for what they haven't done or have done. That is up to God to deal with that. And can I tell you something that'll make you even love me more or dislike what I'm sharing to you more? He will never get people back the way you think he will, because he's not a carnal God. He doesn't think that way. You don't want to know how God's way of getting somebody back is? Letting them experience the power and the blessing and the love of Jesus. That's how he'll get somebody back. You want to know how he'll get you back? How he'll get somebody back that has hurt you? That they will experience the same blood that flowed from Calvary that you did. And they will come and bow their knee at the cross of Jesus Christ. That's how he gets people back. He's not angry at you today. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, the Amplified Bible says that love believes the best in every person. The best in every person. Another translation says, love overlooks a person's faults. And I want to challenge every one of us today. And I know I'm speaking to people here today, that there's been people that have hurt you. They've said things about you. Hey, get in line. They've treated you bad. They willingly took advantage of you. They willingly took from you. They willingly harmed you. They did it, and they knew they were doing it. But you are not called to judge them or to hate them, because when you do, it makes you into somebody you never wanted to be. Who am I talking to? I feel that pull on my spirit today. When you learn to love people like Jesus is loved, you'll sleep better at night. You'll get along with your spouse better. You'll come home. Your family will go to another level in another dimension. I'm speaking to someone today that you need to turn the corner and move towards love in your own life. Learn that love sees the best in others. And if you look hard and long enough into an individual, and I don't care how difficult they may seem, you're going to find some gold in them. You're going to find some love in them. You're going to find something good inside of them, because love overlooks another person's faults. But when you live your life to point out the negative, to point out the faults, and you criticize and you let negative things come out of your mouth, you are building negativity not only about them, but it's happening in your life as well. My brothers and my sisters, you have to watch what comes out between your two lips. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And the remaining part of that verse says that you will eat the fruit of it. You and I do not have the liberty to go around and letting negative things about other people come out of our mouths. Because when we do, then we eat the fruit of that. And it goes against the nature of God. When Jesus was here on the earth, he went about, the Bible says, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. He reached out. He lifted people up. He built them up. He encouraged them. He saw the best in people. And I want to encourage you today, turn that corner and move towards love. And secondly, this little phrase here, it's got a funny background to it. Maybe I'll tell you someday. But this word is just, what are you looking at? My mom used to tell me, and maybe you never heard this, but she said, clean your own back door before you complain about somebody else's. I heard that when I was just a little boy. I remember one time, okay, I got a rag and some soap, and I went and started cleaning. She goes, that's not what I meant. I thought if I cleaned that back door, literally, you get it. But sometimes we're looking at the wrong thing. And I just love that little picture up there. Leave that up there when I say this verse. Matthew 7:3 says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't look at the plank in your own eye? That dude's got the plank coming out of his eye, doesn't he? And isn't that the way somebody is? They got to look for the littlest. I mean, it's like people's business to try to find dirt on you. What can they do to say something negative about you? And the Amplified says it even more, and you can move to the scripture, Paul. How can you possibly see the tiny particle in your brother's eye when you got a beam of timber in your own eye? Move past that complaining and judging and being critical about everyone. Let the Holy Spirit touch your life and transform you. And I just wanted to slip this little verse in here because this is so important. This is in direct reference to how we treat others. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 that if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. You're jacked up. This isn't about you not feeling good about yourself. This is about you putting down somebody else to make you feel good about you. That's not the way that works. The Bible says if you want to build yourself up on your holy faith, pray in the Spirit. That's how you will build you up. It's not by tearing other people down. Listen, the more dirt you throw, the more ground you will lose. He who throws dirt gathers no ground. See the best in others. Give people room to be the people that God has called them to be. None of us should have this, I got it all together, I know everything attitude. We need to leave room for others to grow in God's grace. I saw this week that a beloved man of God, he was the co-host on CBN for years, Ben Kinchlow. Do you ever remember that name? I remember when I was 17, 18 years old. You want to talk about messed up. I was sitting in my 1970 F-150 red Ford pickup. And I was sitting down in the East End Plaza parking lot where the McDonald's is now, sitting right about there. I'm telling you, I was so messed up. People could say what they want, and they were true. It was true. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting there lost, broken, just acting crazy. I turned on the radio, and I could hear this man speaking. His voice drawed me right in. That's when CBN had a radio station, and it was Ben Kinchlow. And he began to talk. And if you ever heard of him, it'd be like he was speaking right to you. And that day when I listened to him, he was speaking right to me. And he says, I'm going to pray for you right now. I thought, he must see me where I am. And they're looking. My wife's grandmother said that people were making it so they could see you through the radio and see you through the TV. I mean, crazy stuff. But I'm sitting there thinking, I got, maybe Granny's right. He can see me. He said, I want to pray for you right now. My goodness, I prayed with him. I was crying and weeping. And I sent CBN a message, and I told them that story this week about that moment. Can I tell you? Don't look at the wrong in people. There's plenty of it. Get your list out. If you want to do that, get all the yellow pads you can, because you'll never run out. You can start right here. There's more wrong with me than there ever could be right. But God tells you and I, start looking at the good in people. And the only way you're going to do it is to put on love. And I love this little picture up here. It shows that coat hanger, empty. You see, when you put something on, everybody sees it. Love is not meant to stay hanging up in your closet. It's not meant to stay hanging up somewhere where nobody sees it. When you put something on, everybody knows it. How many of you saw my orange sneakers today? Everybody, you know, I had people say to me coming in, some said, wow, I like those. And other people said, wow. But I can't hide them. I think Eddie said, where's the batteries for those things? You can't hide them. You can't hide love. You're either a lover or you got challenges. And when you love with Christ's love, everybody will know it. Come on, say amen. Listen to some of the scriptures that the Bible uses, the things to say that we are to put on. In Galatians 3:27, he said, put on Christ. In Ephesians 4:24, he says, put on the new man. In Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. In Colossians 3:12, put on as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on bowels of mercy, put on kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, put it on. And then he says in Colossians 3:14, but above all these, put on love, and it'll bind everything together in perfect harmony. Can I tell you, my brothers and my sisters today, when you put the love of God onto your life and you love others like he has loved you, everybody will know it. You can't hide it. You will be like a beacon of light wherever you go. And God will use you in a way that you never thought possible. You'll sleep better at night. You'll get along better with your spouse, your children, your parents, your coworkers. Come on, somebody, you may be struggling with your boss. You need to bless them tomorrow. Run up to Buttercrumbs Bakery and take them back some really great goodies with lots of sugar on them and nuts and, oh, praise God. How many of you want a sweet roll or something right now? Amen. Bless them. Bless them. Everybody say, I'm going to bless them. Come on, some of you, you're slow on the draw here. Come on. Everybody said, I'm going to bless them. Because out of your mouth brings life and death. I'm going to say, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to live my life as being a blesser. I'm going to give in every opportunity that I can. I am going to bless. Listen to the scripture. I'm going to read this to you and I'll be done in just a minute. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Don't love somebody. Don't say, well, pastor told me to love them, so I love you. No, don't do that. Let it be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I like that. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I'll repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, take him some donuts tomorrow. If he is thirsty, bring him a big, grande, black eye. That's coffee with two shots of espresso. Come on. Where is my real coffee drinkers in the house today? If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. From doing so, you heap coals upon his head. That's not a negative. That's a positive. I explained that a few weeks ago. Don't become overcome by evil. Take that person that is trying to harm you and disparage you and bless them. Amen, Pastor. I thank God for that word. I'm going to do that. Take it and bless them. Come on. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Come on. Do you receive that today? Come on. Do you receive it? You can't do this in your own strength. You need the strength of God. Let me just end with this. These are attitudes that keep you living and loving. Number one, be a friend that loves deeply. Verse 10, outdo one another in showing honor. Two, give preference to one another in honor. This is how it begins. Number three, don't stop when it's hard. It's going to be hard. You're going to say things like, God, strengthen me, empower me, help me. You think that's bad? That's putting a dependence not on your ability, but on God's ability. You don't give up when it's hard. I'm speaking this to a husband and wife. That just came across me. You do not give up when it's hard. And by the way, welcome Mr. and Mrs. Martin Pratt in the house this morning. Stand up real quick so everybody can see you. Stand up. Come on, give them a big God bless you. Okay, you can sit down now. Don't you give up when it's hard. Number four, be a blessing. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not, verse 14. Number five, rejoice when others are happy and weep when they are sad. Verse 15, don't do it the other way around. I see some new vehicles out in the parking lot. Hallelujah. I'm happy for you. I pray blessing on you. I pray blessing. When I pray blessing on you, God will give me something the same way. He will the same with you. Seek the same life for all. Don't be the great somebody. Verse 16. Number 7. Never pay back evil with evil. Verse 17. Be at peace with all when it's possible to you. Verse 18. Number 9. Never take your own revenge. Let God handle it. He's working more out on you, inside of you, than you will ever see him do to the other person. He's going to have grace on their life. I might just as well tell you right up front. If you're waiting, God will get them. Boy, they're going to get theirs. I loathe it when I look at social media and Christians say, karma's getting theirs. Let me tell you something. First of all, karma is not in the Bible. Karma is a carnal thing. God doesn't get people back. I said God doesn't get people. You know how he gets them back? He loves them. He shows them mercy and grace. Come on, you ought to be happy about that because you're guilty and he didn't get you back. He loved you into salvation, into eternal life. Let God handle it. He'll straighten them out. My goodness, I remember the first time I met my fifth grade math teacher, years after I went to school, I treated him so bad. I tortured him. And I'll never forget the day. I'm saved now. I'm in ministry. And I walked up to him. Hello, Mr. Harry. Cal Harry, it was his name. I called him Mr. Harry. I looked at him. He said, Marty, I'm so glad to see you. I'm thinking inside all those things I did to him, said bad about him. I used to stick a whole piece of paper in my mouth, wad it up, and when he turned his head to write something on the board, none of you kids, no kids aren't here, I'd take that out and I'd whip it and it'd fix right to the chalkboard right next to him. Pieces of the paper would fly out and hit him. He'd just take his hand and he'd wipe it out. He'd turn around and he'd say, please, whoever did that, don't do that again. And I'd be there laughing. And I thought of all those things the first time I see him. Do you think he should get me back for that? Well, of course he should. But you know how he got me back? Mr. Harry prayed for me. And I got saved. And I love the Lord. And then last, number 10, have an attitude to help and love. Verse 20 and 21, get the best of evil by doing good for others, and start today. Amen. Come on, start today. Amen. Come on, do you love the Lord? Give him a big praise. Praise God. Just close your eyes, bow your head. You may be here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus. You will never love like Jesus loves unless he's in your heart. You're here today. I want the prayer people to come to the altar. You're here today and you're just struggling in that area of unforgiveness. You can't stand somebody in particular. God wants to give you grace to let it go. And everyone that's coming down to the front here to pray for you has had to let things go. Everyone has had to let things go. I remember riding in the John Deere tractor with you, Ron Thurber. One of the hardest moments in your life. And I admire this man today because he loves. If you're here today and you're broken, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, before you leave, come. Close your eyes. I'll pray. When I'm done praying, just make your way to the altar. Let one of these folks pray over you. They'll pray. You can accept Christ in your heart today and have the power to overcome the evil that has tried to overcome you. You can have the power to forgive and love. Spirit of the living God, you are here in this house. You are here. We have come to worship and adore you. I pray for my friends today. I pray that you'd lift their heart. I pray that you give them peace and hope. Lord, we're some are just disconnected in this area of their life. I pray that today you'll help them. You'll give them grace. You give them life, love. For that one or ones that have never given you their life, I pray that today is the day for them. Like I had so many years ago and many others. I pray blessing and favor over each and every one that is here today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. I love you so much. You need prayer. You want to give your heart to Christ? You just need some prayer to get over a hump with something or someone? Come on down. Let these folks pray with you and for you. Go in His grace. I love you. You're beautiful people. God bless you.